Hey everybody, this is Sophie and welcome to episode 98 of the Big Boo Cast. On this episode, Melanie and I are going to be joined by our good friend and frequent podcast guest, Travis Cottrell. We are going to talk about just what's been going on in our family's lives, and we're going to talk about a whole bunch of music that we love a ton. But first, I want to tell you about a sponsor of this episode of the podcast, the Bissell Bark Bath. Bissell recently sent Melanie and me their new bark bath. Now, if you have a dog, you know bathing your dog can be a huge pain. When it's cold, it's hard to bathe them outside. And then if you bathe them inside, it causes a messy bathroom and you've got to clean everything up. Plus, it's expensive to go back and forth to the groomer all the time. Well, the Bissell Bark Bath allows pet parents to bathe their pet with virtually no mess, eliminating the inevitable cleanup that comes along with washing a four-legged family member. This all-in-one system can be used in any room of the house, anytime, with minimal mess. It works with any length of fur or hair and uses a no-rinse shampoo. And what's more, the Bark Bath uses less than 48 ounces of water to clean pets up to 80 pounds compared to traditional bathing in a tub, which can use up to 19 gallons of water. Hazel, as you know, can be a little high maintenance, a little anxious. So can Mabel. Piper is breezy. But this is such a good way, y'all, to be able to bathe your dogs quickly inside with very little cleanup. And in Hazel's case, even though the noise of it, which sounds a little bit like a vacuum cleaner, is off-putting at first, it makes this process so much more manageable for her. So, if you would like to buy your very own bark bath for your four-legged family members, visit bissell.com/bigboo. And when you use the coupon code bigboo, you'll receive two bottles of free no-rinse shampoo with your order. This coupon code is good for a limited time only. So that's bissell.com, bissell.com/bigboo. And use the coupon code BIGBOO at checkout. We want to thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Alrighty, y'all. Here we go with episode 98.
Dude, I was like, I wonder if we're going to trample all over each other on the intro. It'll be so fun.
We always do.
I really do.
We always do. Okay, y'all ready?
Team? Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, everybody. This is Sophie. This is Big Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
Hey, this is Best. Hi, Daddy.
Yay for Travis.
Yay, Travis.
I'm happy to be here.
We're so happy to have you, Travis Cottrell. We all sound like we are ready to record an episode of The Delicious Dish, pretty much, I feel like.
I know. I really have a kind of a bad cough, too, that I'm really trying hard not to do. So if I cough at any point, I just apologize in advance. But we've apparently gotten a little spring break cold around here.
I'm so sorry. I'm very okay. Healthy. I feel like I'm good. I don't know what's wrong with the two of y'all, but I'm in good working order. I feel
well. I'm going to tell you part of what I trace mine back to. You know what I haven't had in 2 weeks? Kombucha. And guess who's sick now?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Why haven't you had
kombucha? You really drink that stuff? I can't bring myself to drink that stuff.
Oh my gosh. I love it so much. Like, I really, it's not like I have to. And I ran out and we've just been busy and I haven't had a chance to go because I've got to get it from Trader Joe's. And I just haven't had a chance to get over to Trader Joe's. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I'll be fine without it. But apparently not, because here I am, first cold of the winter for me right now. And two weeks off kombucha. So, Trav, I love it. I get the cayenneade. It's like spicy lemonade. It's so delicious.
Okay, I'm gonna try it.
I know, and I swear you get it at Trader Joe's, or that's where I can find it, and then they also have a natural grocer's where you can get it. But I really do believe that it's kept me healthy this whole winter. That's what
I'm saying. On my lunch break I'll run down to Trader Joe's, Jackson, Tennessee, because we got like five of them.
Hey, I detoured in Jacksonville.
You may have to have it shipped in. You may have to have it shipped in, but that's okay.
I was in Missouri this past weekend, and I detoured in Jackson on the way home to see one Angela Cottrell and to visit with her for a little bit.
Yes.
And Jackson is, like, I feel like Jackson has got a lot going on, Travis. I mean, maybe not a Trader Joe's, but I feel like it was bustly. It was booming, I felt like, when I was there.
Yeah, well, there's some growth happening, and it is always bustly, like on the weekends, because mm-hmm. there are so many. Like, I never knew of the world of West Tennessee mm-hmm. until I moved here. There are so many small. Oh wait, something's ringing that I forgot to silence. So many small towns that. Sorry.
This. Now he's going to open up his bag of almonds. Hold on. Get a couple of almonds while you're doing that.
There's so many small towns that come to Jackson on the weekends. So it's more bustly than it probably than is representative of the actual bustle worthiness of it. But
okay.
Yeah, we're coming along. But okay. We don't have a Trader Joe's.
Well, surely there's kombucha somewhere, I feel like.
Yes. Somebody's got it. I mean, for sure. I'd think.
We do. Our Kroger has a good health section. And then we have a Grubbs grocery, which carries a lot of kombucha. So I'll go. Is it kombucha or kombucha?
I say kombucha.
It's kombucha. Kombucha, I believe. No,
but you also know that I say quinoa. So really don't listen to me on anything health related. Here's what I know how to say. Reese's peanut butter cup.
Bluebell ice cream.
Oreo. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Will say, when I got to your house on Saturday, Travis, and you were not there because you were in your hometown of Boone, North Carolina. But when I got there, Angela had prepared a strawberry and blueberry cobbler, a gluten-free cobbler that was fantastic. She made a cup of coffee that I felt like was one of the cups of coffee of my lifetime. And that coffee pot you have that grinds the beans and then makes the coffee, which now I feel like I need to get one of those. Oh, it was a delightful. It was such a restful stop on the way home.
Well, she's delightful.
She really is. She is one of the most delightful people. And I haven't even told Melanie this, but we were talking about writing, and I told her about an idea that had kind of dawned on me about a book based on something that I had read one morning a couple of weeks ago. And when I told her about it, she said, "That's actually what I read in my quiet time this morning." And I'm telling you, I wrestled the whole way home thinking, well, that's the Lord. Like that. But clearly, this is what I'm supposed to write about, because if Angela Cottrell was reading the same passage of scripture at the moment I saw her, or right before I saw her, then I don't know how much more clearly, what more confirmation do I need? Because she is such a voice. But anyway,
for sure,
mm-hmm.
she studies that word, man.
I know she does.
I feel like she reads the whole thing today, because. Like, she says that to me a lot. She'll like, "This happened today, and I had just read that morning." I'm like, "Did you read the whole Old Testament this morning?" I mean, she really, like, it's so fresh on her mind, the word, all the time.
I'm
like,
know.
Dang, girl.
I know.
Oh, that's so funny.
She's incredible.
She is. She is. And but listen, and then I had just gotten down the road, and she sent me, she let me know, this one person in scripture that I mentioned, she let me know the meaning of the name, and she sent me what she'd read. She's like a library. I mean, it's fantastic.
She is.
Golly.
It's so true. It's
here's
so true.
Here's the Hebrew translation. Yeah. This is the original language. This is what you need to know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you could produce, I'm going to call her and say, "Hey, is there any way, has God given you a vision for an entire book outline by any chance?"
Right.
If you could.
Yeah, right. Some lighter nonfiction with some funny stories. You got anything? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you have? What do you have in the way of an entire outline with maybe chapter titles? I don't know. I'm just saying, if God gives you that vision, mm-hmm. feel free to share.
Mm-hmm. Just pass it along. I just don't want to quench the spirit. Oh, gosh. What's going on with y'all? Melanie and I finally caught up last night. We had not talked in what felt like forever. But I feel like I've got a better sense of what's going on now, which is soccer and track for Melanie, pretty much.
That's it. Mm-hmm. All life. Uh-huh. Now a cold. Yes. I've added a cold since I talked to you last. Mm-hmm. So, I know Sophie sent me traps. I finally got it. She had called me last week, and last week was just a crazy week. And it was one of those weeks where it was so crazy, it made me want to just go underground. And so I don't know if other people have that, just pretend like you do, but I was like, I'm just laying low. And so I had a week, and then I was going to call her back, and then Sunday was crazy, and I just hadn't had a chance. And finally I got a message yesterday, and she was like, my name is Sophie Hudson. I'm looking for my friend Melanie Shankle, who I have not heard from in several weeks. Please advise on how I get in touch with her. So that's where we were. So finally at 5:30 last night, I was like, I've got to call Sophie before she sends like people to come find me in San Antonio.
Yes. I believe I said last I knew awesome. You lived in the San Antonio area, but
Yes, in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, do y'all do soccer? Is girls soccer in the spring, or is it travel soccer? Like, not when is school soccer for y'all?
Our school soccer's in the spring, so we had travel soccer in the fall that ended in like November, and then our school soccer, which I know is different than a lot of the country, runs from January until like we'll finish next week. School soccer, and then we have a week off, so we're gonna just revel in that, and then we start back to club soccer. The next week, like we'll run April, May. Are y'all fall soccer?
Well, our girls soccer is in the fall, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in college, college girls soccer is in the fall. I don't know why Texas is in the spring, because I know like up in the north, I think some of it's in the spring, but ours is in the fall. I mean, I'm sorry. I said that backwards.
Right.
The fall.
I was with you though.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. So we're different. I didn't know that until some other parents were talking about, I guess, because like college recruiting, it's different because those girls are playing in the fall. We're playing in the spring. So anyway, right. I don't know. I don't know why.
Yes. So we are knee deep in soccer right now with Levi. Okay.
With Levi.
And he's also, with Levi, he just finished school basketball, and he's in school soccer, and he's in travel basketball now, because of course now in this generation, you don't play a sport just when it's that sports season. You have to play year round, which is a soapbox of mine, which drives me crazy, but you know, it is what it is in this generation, right? Did we talk about that last time?
I don't know.
Maybe we didn't.
Okay. Well,
but it is true.
Yeah.
This whole idea that, like, when I was growing up, you played basketball during basketball season, and then there wasn't a lot of organized situations out of season, maybe a little bit. But now these days, if you want to play in high school a sport, you have to do it year round, which is weird to me, because there are kids that may want to play two or three sports, but they make it kind of hard to do.
Yeah. I think
I'm sounding a little more complainy than I mean to be sounding. It's more observational than complaining, but at the same time, Levi's going from soccer practice to basketball practice and coming home at 7:30. You know, it's a lot.
It's a lot. I mean, I feel like Caroline's got to be at school at 7 for track. So she goes in early for track, stays late for soccer, or vice versa every day. Gosh. I mean, and it's a lot. And the thing is she really likes both. And then she said, like last week, she said that the basketball coach saw her run and was like, hey, would you be interested in playing basketball next year? And Caroline came home and she goes, what do you think? I said, when do you have time? I was like, we can't add basketball to this. You know, like it's too.
Is she a sprinter? Is she a fast runner?
She's a fast runner. Yeah. So she's a sprinter. Yeah. So, they've got her. She's running anchor on like three different relays. So she's pretty fast. I mean, obviously gets it from me.
For sure.
And so,
sure. Yeah.
Is she a freshman or eighth grader? Freshman?
She's a freshman. Yeah, she's a freshman. Because Levi's a freshman, right? Okay, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but she's young. So she's younger than Levi and Alex, but she's a freshman. Because she's got an August birthday.
Right, and Alex is still in eighth grade because of his middle kindergarten situation. He did that transitional kindergarten thing. But see, his two, like, but with football and lacrosse, you could do lacrosse year round if you wanted to, but he can't do it in the fall because of football. So I feel like we're probably a little bit more sane than y'all are, because there's not club football. Thank the Lord for that. And so we have two pretty regular seasons in terms of, like, just, you know, like there's a little bit of There's a little bit of a break between the end of football, the beginning of lacrosse. But he does have this summer for starting to play football in high school. He has workouts every morning at 6 a.m.
All summer. Yeah. That is,
oh, man.
That is terrible. That is just
brutal.
Melanie Schenkel, it would ruin your summer. I mean, it would.
It would.
Yes.
It makes me feel like it's ruined my summer to know how much it's going to ruin your summer. Like, I feel like, how am I going to text you at 1 a.m. and say, you up?
Yeah.
And tell you something about what
it's a codependent ruining.
It is. Because Melanie knows. I call my friend Melissa Gordon, her mother's name is Jackie. And Jackie was always the mom who was up late. Like, when you went over to Melissa's house to spend the night, Jackie was going to be up with you. She was always in a book. Like, she would always stay up, like, you know, until 2 or whatever. And so in the summers, I say I get on my Jackie Gordon schedule, because I like to sleep a little later, and then I like to stay up and watch television or read, and I'm not going to be able to be Jackie Gordon this summer. And there's a sense of loss on my part, I feel like.
I'm going to mourn Jackie Gordon for sure. Uh-huh. I mean, I feel real sad about it. But our summer too is already shaping up, because I think Caroline's going to do summer school the first 2 weeks. So that means she's going to have to be up and out. And then between camps and soccer and all that, I'm like, it's the days of, you know, just leisurely summers, I feel like, are kind of behind us, sadly.
Okay. And Travis, one thing that Angela and I talked about, that Melanie and I have talked a little bit about, is that both of our boys are really into Fortnite.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, kidding.
Life.
But Melanie, are you hearing what I'm hearing?
I am hearing it, but I was hoping that maybe I was just the only one hearing it.
Travis, you sound like you're speaking into... into an electric current is the best way I know how to put it.
Why?
No, it went away. It went away. You're better now. Maybe it was just the connection.
Yeah. Or
maybe
it was your phone or something.
Okay. Mic check 1, 2, testing 1, 2.
Okay.
Testing.
Let's try that again.
Fortnite.
Okay. So Fortnite. Our boys are super into Fortnite, correct?
Correct. If I could get him to approach his studies with the passion and vigor that he approaches Fortnite, we'd be in good shape.
Have you
it's
watched?
It's crazy. I don't watch. I mean, I watch for like 30 seconds at a time, but I can't. I don't know. But I will say, it's so funny because one of his good Fortnite buddies is named Jack.
Okay.
And, you know, Jack lives at home. He goes to college here at Union here in town, and he lives at home, and his room is right there beside our bonus room where Levi plays. So Jack's coming out of his room all the time going, what? While Levi's going, Jack, behind you, Jack, behind you, Jack, behind you, Jack.
Listen.
So that's always comedy.
Does Levi yell? I mean, like, we'll just be minding our own business, and then we'll hear, like, the loudest, like, dude! I said, does everybody yell like you do? And he's like, yes, ma'am, everybody. I cannot imagine the chaos they're listening to in their ears if everybody's yelling like that.
And listen, for his birthday, he had, I don't know, just like 5 or 6 friends over, and they all brought computers and TVs.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Oh, you're
kidding.
And
they were all in the same room with headphones.
Mm-hmm.
And computer/TV situations, playing Fortnite all together, talking to each other, but through their microphone and headphones.
Mm-hmm. It's the craziest.
I took a little video. Like, y'all are the biggest nerds I've ever seen in my life.
I had never even heard of it until it was so. I told Sophie this yesterday. So she had posted about Alex's birthday and mentioned Fortnite, and I was like, huh, I don't know what that is. And then Caroline and I went and ate lunch with Gully and her boys yesterday, and her boys were talking about they'd had friends over to play Fortnite. So it's like one of those things I'd never even heard of, because I'm betting Lily probably doesn't play Fortnite.
Oh gosh, no.
Yeah, see, it's the difference between girls. Like Caroline, we don't have a PlayStation. Like, we're just not, it's just not that she's never been into that, you know. It's such a boy thing. So now I don't know what Fortnite is, but I know it's a video game.
Right.
It is. Yeah. And they, I mean, a couple of senior guys were talking to me yesterday and were saying how much they love it and how, like, how fun it is. But here's the thing, and this is where I have finally landed on it, because I have a real love-hate relationship with the video game stuff, just because the negative parts of it, I really don't like at all. Here's why I tend to be okay with the Fortnite, is because it's not something that anybody does in isolation. Like, it's such a team thing, and it's very social. Like, they're cracking each other up, and I don't know, in the weirdest way, they're making memories, I feel like. It's such a strange phenomenon to me, but it's kind of, I feel like it's kind of the equivalent of, like, when I would go home and talk on the phone when I was their age. You know what I mean? Like, it's how they hang out. And so,
in the strangest way, it's like pulling them away from their phones. Yes. I mean, in a weird way.
Yes, it is. Yeah, because it absolutely does. They put their phones down, and I know they're on screens and they're interacting, but it's a way for them to hang out when they're at home. And I mean, everybody's going to see, you know, each other with sports and all that kind of stuff, and at school. But it's a really, like, I have been so tickled by how much Alex laughs when they play, like, how much fun it is, and for reasons I did not expect.
Yes.
So
I took a little, like, 30-second video. I'll text it to y'all, Melanie, so you can see how they all play together. It really is fun and funny.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So that's just where we are, America. Like, I don't know what else to say, but it's been a fun little thing to watch him enjoy. It's kind of like, it's fun to watch him play lacrosse, and it's fun to watch him do other stuff. I don't know. Who knew? Fortnite? I don't even know what to say about that.
So, right. Mm-hmm. My mind is flooding, not to change the subject, but I'm writing down subject. There's so much to talk about right now in life, I feel like.
Well, I wish you, yes.
I mean, there's a lot.
Go. Well, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Tell us. Start.
First of all,
topic.
I do have to say that I also have, Lily just went into tennis season.
Yes.
So just to round this out for me, what we're busy with Levi with soccer, and she's playing tennis, and I think spring is turning into my favorite season because of that, because they, like, at my kid's school, the tennis courts are right beside the soccer field. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, like, sometimes the stars align and they have a match and a game at the same time. Mm. Like, to be out in the 70 degree weather in the afternoon sunshine, and one kid's playing tennis here and one kid's playing soccer here, and I don't know. It's probably my new favorite.
What does Levi play in soccer?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, he's a freshman playing. He's on the varsity team because mm-hmm. we don't have a JV team. We just have a varsity team, and he has always played like defensive, like center mid, or I don't know all the names. I don't know. He plays in the mid, kind of in the middle.
Okay.
And he is a freshman, and it's an older team, so there are a lot of guys in front of him. But he's been starting up on the front line on the wing.
Okay.
And so he's never played an offensive position, but, like, at his game Monday, he scored 2 goals. I was shocked.
Wow. Oh, awesome.
Okay, what does Caroline play?
Caroline play? She's always offensive. So she's on club team, she's a wing, and they've started playing her at forward, too. In school, she's pretty much always a forward.
Okay.
So, but they always put her up front. So, So Levi must be fast, because the wing, I feel like you have to be fast and you have to have a lot of stamina, because it's a lot of, like, running. Like, Perry and I really do laugh, because with Caroline, sometimes it's like Bugs Bunny, because it's like she goes, like, flying down the field one way, and then the ball gets and she goes flying back down the field the other way. Like, you're just, and it's big. It's a big field. It's like a lot of running.
It's a lot of running. It looks miserable to me. Uh-huh. And I'll say this about this, like, going from middle school to high school, like, the guys on his team are giants. Mm-hmm. They are, like, mm-hmm. there are a lot of football players that play soccer at our school. They're mm-hmm. giant, and Levi looks like, he looks like those pencils that we had when we were kids with the hair, like when you would turn them round and round and round, the hair would frizz out. He looks like one of those out there. So skinny compared to, you know, like, he's like 6'1" and 120 pounds or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He's tall. Okay. So he's a lot taller. Like, you don't get that. And when I see pictures, you know what I mean? There's not a, but he's tall. I didn't realize he was that tall.
Yeah. I mean, he's shot up a lot here recently.
That's crazy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's how Caroline is finally one of the taller, like she's finally gotten taller, like she's almost 5'6", but she's but same, she's skinny. So we always say when we look on the field, you look for her legs, because mm-hmm. you're going to find those little
right.
those
I was going to say, she looks tall because it looks like, you know, 5 feet of that are legs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. She's got long legs. Yes. So, and she's almost, I mean, she's right under me at this point. So like she's maybe a quarter inch, if that, shorter than me, but that's it. So, but for so long, she was always the littlest, tiniest one out there. But we said that it's kind of worked to her advantage, because you have to learn, if you're thin, you have to learn to be strong, because otherwise those big old kids are going to just knock you off the ball.
Right. Yeah.
And don't you think too, Travis, we went to a varsity soccer game a couple of weeks ago, and I feel like the game is so fast. Like it looks completely different to me than watching soccer watching kids play a couple of years ago, even. Like it's so much more physical, I feel like, at that varsity level. It's crazy.
It's unreal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which adds to the, you know, the dad of the skinny freshman going, oh my gosh, how are you not getting pummeled? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. It's so rough. It's really rough and aggressive. I mean, I love it. It's fun. Like, it's a lot less boring than middle school soccer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, in middle school, I'm like, oh my gosh, can we make the halves shorter and the goals bigger or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little bit less of that.
Yeah. We need a little. Caroline played. We were in a tournament like a couple of weekends ago. We went to Las Vegas, and it was an international tournament, and her team played a team of girls their age from Sweden, who we found out later, like, these girls in Sweden, like, they live together, they play together, like it's like a soccer school, like they're an academy, like they do everything together. That's all they do is soccer.
Wow.
And I mean, you want to talk about playing these big blonde Swedish girls. I mean, it was like, oh, well, this is a whole different level. Like, you know, it's like we thought the Dallas teams were good. We had no idea what Sweden had in store. It was
right. Sweden. Yeah. A lesser known gem of the soccer world. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yes. Sweden. It was like, oh my gosh. Like, okay, I think we'll go back to playing Corpus Christi. That's a lot more fun to watch than playing Sweden. So it's something, but it's physical. And those girls get into it. Like, I mean, I think all the time, I'm like, how do we play this game? And like, we aren't putting helmets on our kids, you know?
Right.
And I guess because nobody wants to be the first soccer parent to be like, you have to wear a helmet. But it's just, you're like, it's just a lot of getting knocked around.
It is. I know. And I mean, like, and no pads. That's what's crazy, except on your legs. I mean, just, oh my word. It's crazy to me. All right, Travis, what else was on your list? You said there was so much to talk. So you've got Lily playing tennis. You've got Lila playing soccer.
Well, you know, I'm an American Idol faithful.
Yes.
And I was wanting to avoid it, and okay. I can't.
Okay.
I can't.
Okay.
There's no avoiding it for me. There's no avoiding. I dropped the voice like a hot potato.
Okay. Okay.
Even with Kelly Clarkson, who I love on there, but yeah. Yeah. I love American Idol. I love the format. There's something about the nostalgia of, you know, everything from the logo and the music to Ryan Seacrest and the whole, everything about it. And so we watched it this week. I love it.
You're kidding.
I love the judges.
Really? Okay.
I love Luke Bryan. Like, he's not my favorite, but doggone it, they're going to make me like him. Like, I'm two episodes in, I'm going, yeah, we could be friends.
Okay, tell me what you like about it, because I haven't watched it yet. It's on the DVR. I haven't seen anything. So tell me what do you like about it, and is it anything different than what we remember?
No, I don't think it's anything different, but what I like about it is I think these judges, particularly Lionel and Luke, they are so happy to be there.
Okay.
Like, they're so eager. Like, there is zero pretense. They mm-hmm. are, like, Lionel, you know, this is a rejuvenation of his career, I'd say. And, of course, you know, he's one of my top 10, top 5, whatever, all time. You know, the 80s music, it wasn't much better than Lionel Richie. Mm-hmm. And so I love him, but they are so just like, it's so innocent the way they judge. Like, they can't hide their grins when somebody sings two notes and it's great. Like, Luke is over there. He cannot help himself but look over with this big country grin over to the other two judges when somebody sings, and it's great. And I don't know, there's just something that's fresh about it. And then Katie, I don't know, I just, you know, I, with her weird career, and she's done a lot of things that I don't like, but there's something about that saying, there's something just like pure about what they're doing as judges. I don't know. And then the talent, like, the talent is crazy. I don't know where these 15 and 16 year olds that sing so great, like, what are they doing in their life to be able to sing like that? I don't know.
There have been some good contestants.
Yes.
Okay.
For sure. For sure.
Well, that kind of makes me want to watch. I heard yesterday that they said it's like that so far the ratings are the lowest of any American Idol ever. And so I think in my mind I translated that to terrible, although I don't know why, because I feel like America increasingly shows we don't necessarily have good taste as a whole. So
that, right.
So that is interesting to me. That makes me kind of want to watch, because I've always liked American Idol.
Yeah. Well, in full disclosure, I'm not the litmus test to whether or not it's good. I've always loved it. I never didn't love it. When it was bad, I loved it. There's just something about it. I don't know. I just love the show.
Well, it sounds like, okay, too, what you're saying is you feel like the judges are really for the contestants. Like, they're not playing off the contestants. They are enjoying the people who come to audition, which I think is always,
yes,
there's something encouraging and fun about that, as opposed to when the joke is making fun of somebody or being negative about somebody or belittling somebody. Like, that gets real old real fast. So I like that they're for the people.
Right, for sure. Yeah.
And I've never gotten into The Voice.
Mm-mm, I haven't either.
I watched last season. I really loved it. I loved the judge. I loved the judge panel of, who's Maroon 5 guy?
Adam Levine
and Blake Shelton. And I got to say, I thought Miley was a great judge, and Jennifer Hudson. That was a fun season. That was the only one that I watched from beginning to end ever. And I loved it. But I thought about watching this one, but when I saw American Idol coming, I knew I can't do both.
Okay. So, you had to choose. I know, because you're too busy watching. It's like, you can't do soccer and tennis and American Idol and American Idol.
And Survivor.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know. I haven't seen this season. Still. Yeah, I haven't seen this season. There, again, episodes on the DVR, but I haven't seen anything yet. But I'm so bad, y'all, right now about watching television. And I like, it's a real struggle for me. I don't know. I don't have room for any. I can't explain it. I don't have a lot of patience for getting into a story. And so, it's just been, a weird.
Has America broken your spirit?
Maybe a little bit. No, I think the days are so busy and full and all that kind of stuff. And so kind of when I get home and I finally sit down, it does not feel relaxing to me to get involved in something that's tense. And so, I don't know. I've got to turn it around, though, because I haven't watched This Is Us at all this season. I haven't watched, there's something else that I haven't watched. But I have started, I have started watching The Good Place on Netflix. And I finished season one, and I think it's really fun and cute with Travis. It's a sitcom on NBC, I think, with Ted Danson and Kristen Bell.
Yeah, I've seen ads for it. I haven't watched it, but
I don't know.
We're four episodes behind on This Is Us. I haven't had a place for that in my, after the Super Bowl one, I think we haven't watched.
Well, it kind of, but I will tell you, I've finished it. I watched the last two two nights ago. I stayed up late and watched the last two, and it I really loved the way the season ended. Like, I mean, the writing on the final episode, actually, the last two were really, really good. So, because I can tell you, one is, this isn't a spoiler, so one is really kind of all audacious backstory, which I found really interesting, and I was glad that they gave us
that.
Yes, I
heard about that.
Yeah, and it was really good, and then the other one was the final episode, and both were really good, and I had kind of hesitated, because I feel like that Super Bowl one, like wiped me out, like put me in the bed, where I'm like, I can't process somebody's imaginary problems to this extent. Like, this is too much. But it's like, there's enough sadness in the world without me subjecting myself to this. Maybe I'm overly invested in the Pearsons, but it really ended well and set us up nicely, I feel like, for season three. So I watched that, and then I watched Rise. Did y'all record Rise, which is the new Jason Katim's Friday Night Lights series that just started?
Yes, I think we recorded it. I have not watched it, shockingly.
Okay.
I haven't watched it, but I'm trying to write down your quote. I can't process someone else's imaginary problems to this extent.
Quotes. Put that on a t-shirt.
That's right.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Melanie Schenkel. Mm-hmm. That's good. I'm tweeting that today.
Oh, that makes me laugh. Rise has some promise. I think here's the thing. I think I would have liked Rise better had I not seen Friday Night Lights. But it feels like it's wanting to be Friday Night Lights, but it's just, you can't replicate Coach Taylor. So it kind of feels, it felt a little trying too hard for me to be relevant. Like, how many social issues can we address in one-hour pilot? Mm-hmm. But it has some promise. It definitely has some promise, because, you know, I love I'm a sucker for, like, the high school kids and some drama and what's going to happen and a love story and QB1 and all that stuff. So
is there a voiceover? You know, I'm a sucker for a voiceover.
There's not a voiceover. But it's, I don't know, but it's a small, like, Pennsylvania steel town, and, like, this English teacher decides to take over the drama department. So it's a little, but it's not like Glee, because you don't really have performances, but it feels a little bit like maybe it's trying too hard to be provocative, which is a red flag for me. So, so the verdict is out on that.
Okay. But would you say it's worth watching the first one?
I do think it's worth watching the first one. Yeah, I think it's for sure. And I'm going to stick with it. I'll watch the whole season for sure.
Okay.
Because there's just not that much good on right now. Because I feel like what you said about shows is how I feel about, I can't tell you how many books I've ordered in the last however long that I start reading in, like, a chapter and I'm like, meh, I can't read this. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't get into, like, nothing. And I don't know if it's because that's what I'm trying to read, but, like, nothing, I can't get sucked in to that story. I can't get sucked into a story like I'm wanting to, but I can't. So it's like, I've gone back to, like, I've been watching The Office on Netflix. I'm like, this is where my mental capacity can take me right now. I need to watch
The
Office.
That's exactly what I've been doing.
I'm so in tune with this emotion. What do y'all think that is? Do you think it's because life is kind of hectic right now, or, like, we just need something familiar? Like, I feel just like what you said, Melanie. I feel like I cannot get involved even in pretend drama. Like, I can't, I don't have space for it right now. I don't know what it is.
I think so. I don't know. I mean, I'm like, I'm putting myself to sleep watching An Office every night. Like, I watch it as I'm fading into sleep. I don't know. That's probably bad for my psyche, but I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Okay. It feels, but I read, like, an article.
It feels like comfort to me.
Yeah. And I read an article the other day that said, why are people watching The Office the way they are? And it's like, because it's like the comfort food of television. Like, it just, we know what to expect. You know, it's got everything you want. It's funny. You've got a love story. It's going to make you feel good. And you know what to expect. And I think I'm going to give you all my theory.
Okay.
I think because of the stage of life we're in with our teenagers, Gully and I say all the time that this stage of life is more emotionally and spiritually draining. Whereas, like, when they were toddlers, I feel like it was more physically draining, because you were having to, like, chase them around the yard and all that. But I think day to day, you don't know what real life things you're going to be dealing with. And so we need our television. We need our entertainment to be pretty low key. We need it to be predictable, and we need it to make us laugh, is what I think. And not that it's always so hard, but I think we're so tired. I think you get home from watching all the sports and doing all the stuff, and you're like, I can't sit and think about somebody's imaginary. I can't think about Jack Pearson and his crock pot. That's too much.
Right. But it is, a lot of it is hard.
Yes. Yes.
I think that's a good theory.
Cult.
That's a good theory. I think that's a real good theory. And I, like Travis's thing about being tired, honestly, by the time I sit down every night, I feel like it's 9 o'clock usually most nights by the time like everything's done. And so I'm really at that point, I am not far from sleep. Like I am not far at all from being able to wanting to get in the bed and read for a little bit and then checking out. So
thank goodness. Yeah. Thank goodness that Steph Curry got an injury, because Now Angela's not staying up till midnight watching the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Something so crazy, because we love all of the Warriors. I love the whole team. We love the whole team. You take Steph out. What is it? You take one player out and it's not as fun to watch. Like, I don't know.
Is he? How long is he out for? I don't even know.
They're reevaluating on March 20th.
Okay.
So originally they said two games. But now he's out for a minute. So we watched a little bit last night and we still love him, but I'm just glad to get some sleep, man.
No joke. Hello. I am here in the middle of the podcast to tell you about one of our sponsors, Universal Standard. Now, if you are like I am and you wear a size that has two numbers instead of one number, you know that sometimes it can be a little bit of a challenge to find clothes that you feel like are good looking and classic and things that will really last a long time. Well, Universal Standard is a line of modern, minimalist essentials in sizes 10 to 28, and Universal Standard is all about style, fit, and quality. Every piece is engineered specifically to fit the size 10 plus woman, and it's not enough that clothing just fits on the bigger body. These pieces are precisely fit from one size to the next. Plus, they have a program called the Universal Fit Liberty Program, and in that program, you can exchange any piece from their core collection if your size changes within 1 year of purchase, and you can do that for free. So don't wait for your size to change before you invest in quality pieces for yourself. Universal Standard is seasonless, which means you can buy exactly what you need. They release a new product each week, so there's always something fresh on the site. And because it is direct to consumer, they keep the quality super high while not inflating prices for retail markups. There are no sales, just great clothing priced fairly from the start. I have loved the things that I have gotten from Universal Standard. I have a pair of blue jeans that fit like a dream. I love a dress that I got from them that I feel like is so beautiful and feels so good to wear. So for our listeners, when you try Universal Standard and spend $50 at universalstandard.com, you can get their signature $50 T-Rex for free. It's a t-shirt that they call the T-Rex, and I have one, and the fabric is so soft and it washes so well. So if you have at least $50 in your cart, then add any color T-Rex that you would like, use the code BIGBOO at checkout, and the T-Rex will be free. Just add that $50 T-Rex in your cart to your $50 worth of merchandise. And when you check out and use the code BIGBOO, the T-Rex will be free. UniversalStandard.com. They've got great looking stuff, y'all. And if you wear a size that is two digits and not one, I think you're going to love what you see. Thanks so much to Universal Standard for sponsoring the podcast. Now back to episode 98. Okay, so one thing Melanie and I had talked about maybe sort of talking through, because Travis, you released a new album last week called The Reason, and which is wonderful, and I listened to it over and over again driving back and forth to Missouri last weekend. So we thought it would be fun to talk about, to reminisce a little bit about some favorites in terms of songs. Are you game for that?
100%.
I love the enthusiasm, especially if I could talk about
1984.
Oh, you want to talk just about 1984?
No, I'm kidding. I mean, that is my favorite year of music in the history of music, but I was kidding. We don't have to just talk about 1984.
Well, we're going to talk
about that. Taking a tour down. Yeah, we're going to all the years and all the genres.
I was really thinking through it. I had to just break it down into I had to think through, okay, before I started school, elementary school, junior high school, and then just, because for me, it was high school, college, 90s, all that rolls together for me. So I've got a lot from that phase of my life. And I don't love 80s music the way that Travis does, but I do have some good memories. So what would y'all say, and we're all roughly the same age, what would y'all say? What are some songs?
Roughly.
Melanie's the youngest. We'll go ahead and say it. Maybe I'm the oldest.
And I'm the oldest.
I'm the oldest.
No, I think Sophie's the oldest.
Okay. I'm the oldest. I'm like 4 months older than you are. So before you started school, when you were a little kid, what are songs you remember, or do you remember songs
from that time? Oh gosh, do I remember songs? I love this topic because you know my siblings. You're like, here, take the mic. I had my siblings were older, so they were all teenagery when I was listening to this teenager stuff when I was little. And so, you know, I remember being in their 1972 Pinto and hearing I Shot the Sheriff and thinking it was the coolest song I'd ever heard in my life.
Yes,
and
sir.
I was like five or four. I don't know. I remember, you know, hearing John Denver for the first time. I remember America was huge. Like, I don't know. They were always listening to America. I remember my sister had the sheet music to I Need You. You know, like the flower needs the rain, you know, I need you.
Yes.
All those songs. Yeah, that's what I was listening to. So teenagery, early 70s, was killing it in my life.
Well, I was the same because my brother and sister were also teenagers when I was, before I started school. And so I always heard their stuff. I have very distinct memories of Bad Bad Leroy Brown was one.
Yes.
And Brandy.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Brandy is like a vivid memory.
You're a fine girl.
Yeah.
What a good wife she would be.
But my life, my love, and my
That's
lady
one of
is
the
a
best.
C.
Oh, my gosh. Just that song coming on. I mean, that might be like one of the happiest hearing sensations of my life. Like, when that song comes on, nothing else matters.
Right. So good.
Yeah.
Melanie, what about you?
Why?
I was sitting here thinking, okay, I think for me it's different because I was the oldest. So you think my parents were young. So I'm going to tell you, this is what I remember is we had a Buick and there was always a Rita Coolidge 8-track tape.
Yes,
in.
Ma'am.
And so, and I think about like Your Love Has Lifted Me Higher.
Yes.
The way you do
yes.
You, like all the Rita Coolidge, like that's what I remember like driving down the road, like with the Rita Coolidge 8-track. That was like a staple. And then like in my dad's car, he had a cassette player because his car was fancier. And so he had I think it was a Toyota Celica at the time with a cassette player. But he always had a Willie Nelson. I always say Willie Nelson to me is the sound of my childhood. Mm-hmm. Like that On the Road Again, like that whole genre of Willie Nelson. But then I also think there must have been a lot in my subconscious because you know my favorite thing to listen to is the 70s light rock on Pandora.
Yes, ma'am.
Like, it's my very favorite station.
Yes, it's the best.
It's so good. Yes. It's just
I'm so happy right now.
Because I love all those songs so much, and they'll, you know, it's one of those where it'll come on, and now I've listened to it enough where it comes on, and I'm like, something in my childhood, this all absorbed in me, because I know every word to every single song that comes on.
Exactly.
So that tells me there was a lot of 70s light rock going on in my life back in those days.
Oh yes,
my daddy also.
And it's still
loved,
my favorite.
It's my daddy loved Willie Nelson too, and he always had Willie Nelson 8-tracks in his car. But same exact songs. Like daddy loved country, and so he always listened to Don Williams and Willie Nelson and Charlie Pride and those kinds of people. And so those country songs from the 70s will take me right on back too. So good.
And that's what you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know how I love 97.1 in Houston when I get to Houston because it's all like 70s country.
Well,
so it's all that like.
Those were some legit country songs. Like that was not about riding around in the truck with the beer and the girl at your side. Like that was some heartbreak, some heartache, some brokenness in those country songs back in the 70s.
And I feel that way about 80s country because there was, you know, my dad was an auto parts man. He owned an auto parts store. And it was when I was like, I don't know, the 80s was when I was always in his store. And they always had 80s country music playing on the AM radio. And so all those great 80s country songs I heard, you know, playing around in my dad's store, I still listen to those songs. And it makes me, you know, smell motor oil.
Some Kenny Rogers and Dottie West, that kind of thing.
Yes.
Oh, listen.
The
listen,
Kenny
you
Rogers,
could have heard
the
a pin drop when Tommy stopped and locked the door. Does that line mean anything to anybody?
Oh, with that, I was just about to say, that's the other, is my grandparents always had the Kenny Rogers, the Gambler 8-track. It was like stuck in my pawpaw's Cadillac. So you listen to it.
Listen.
All the time. That was it.
When Tommy left the barroom, not a Gatlin boy was standing.
That's right.
And he said, this one's for Becky. as he watched the last one fall.
That's right. Coward of the county.
Come on. Yes. But The Gambler, I still say The Gambler is the best song of all time. The best country song of all time.
It's so good. It's hard to beat Kenny Rogers. It really is. Like, Ruby, Don't Take Your Love to Town.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that song. Take
the fine time to leave me, Lucy.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, uh-huh. So what about elementary school then? Because that gets into the 80s a little bit. What were, like, here's my big, one of the first songs I remember in elementary school, and this was early on, but You Light Up My Life, some Debbie Boone, and then the whole, like,
1978.
The whole Saturday Night Fever thing, all those Bee Gees songs, How Deep Is Your Love. And then into 9 to 5.
Too Much Heaven.
Uh-huh. Like all
that. Too Much Heaven was my all-time favorite Bee Gees song. It was from the album Spirits Having Flown, which I don't even know what that title means.
But Flown.
Yes. And I would take that album to my friend Katie's house, and we would roller skate in her basement to Too Much Heaven.
Oh, nice.
That was my favorite. And then, Too Much Heaven. That's the ringer on my phone. That's okay. Well, and then, of course, technically it's 80s, but, Michael's Off the Wall released, I think, wasn't it 80?
Oh, yeah. It was 79 or 1980? That was 79. Yeah, I can't remember, but it was all in that. And I had Andy Gibb. I had Tragedy. Remember that album? Tragedy!
Yeah!
Yes. Yes! When the feeling's gone and you can't remember Tragedy!
Yes, I listened to a lot of that. My Barbies did a lot of dancing to Andy Gibb.
I don't know why I just sang Bee Gees with my Cher voice. When the feeling's gone and you can't remember Tragedy! So... Off the Wall is my all-time favorite record. And I think Rock With You off of that record is my number one favorite best pop song of all time.
Really? Okay. That's high praise.
That is high praise.
That is a great song. It is a great song.
See, I think I have more. I have the Off the Wall album. I think I got it for Christmas one year. But when you start to get into more like... later middle school, early junior high, which for me was sort of mid-80s, or early to mid-80s, but like you start to get into some Chicago. Melanie, I know you're going to go with me here. Like this was when the love song was just like the ultimate, a good love song was the ultimate thing in my life. So anything Chicago, some Hard to Say I'm Sorry, some Sergio Mendez.
Oh, yes.
Never Gonna Let You Go. Y'all remember that Sergio Mendez song?
Yes.
I was as wrong as I could be to let you get away from.
It kills me.
Gosh.
I mean, and so.
So good. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was thinking, like REO Speedwagon and Take It on the Run, Baby. Mm-hmm. You know, like that. And then like Air Supply. Like I loved. I'm like, what was
that
wrong was with me good. In fourth grade?
Melanie, that was good.
Was it?
That sounded good, Melanie.
Well, thank you, Travis. Thank you. Maybe my cold has made my singing voice better. It's helped my... I'm like Phoebe Buffay. Smelly cat.
That was really good. Well, you know, this is going to make me... I don't know why we called it, but after every ball game, after every home football game, we would have a sock hop. But I don't want it to sound like we were in the 50s, because we weren't. It was very retro to call it sock hop. Right. We weren't actually hopping in socks or, but we would have a dance every Friday night. And my first memories are walking in and Hard to Say I'm Sorry was playing. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in high school and we're dancing and they're playing Hard to Say I'm Sorry. It's just like
it was
all the feels.
And then that REO Speedwagon.
You're the inspiration.
With me all the while. Y'all remember that REO Speedwagon song? The search is over. Yes. The search is over is what it's called.
No, yes. That was Survivor.
Oh, that was Survivor. You're right. That was Survivor.
You're right.
We're so excited right now.
You're right.
Me all the while. Uh-huh. Yeah, that was so good.
Convince you. Okay.
Remember
this
the first time you heard the Eurythmics?
See, I was never I was not a Eurythmics person at all. I'm sorry.
Because I feel like the 80s music, but that was Sweet Dreams was like, it was, and Hall & Oates. That was another one. I loved Hall & Oates. I thought they were so good.
Yeah,
Private Eyes.
Honestly, duets, Chicago, the a good ballad, and then Wham. That was pretty much, and some Prince. That was pretty much my junior high. That's all really I would go back and listen to. But I'd love some
Can
Wham.
Can I just read something to you?
Sure.
Yes.
I have a playlist. I have a playlist of songs of just 80s duets.
Oh.
I would like for you to share that with me.
I know one song that's on it for sure. Yeah. I know one song. I'm Separate waiting for Lives. You to say. Mm-hmm. That. Thank you. That's mm-hmm. what I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
It's the number one. Separate Lives, Endless Love.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, Endless yes. Love. Mm-hmm.
Diane and Lionel. Can't We Try, Dan Hill and Vonda Shepherd.
Oh, I love Can't We Try. Hey, I think your phone's interfering with your microphone. I think that's what's happening.
No, you're okay then.
It was so bad. It was...
I'm sorry. Did you get me saying Can't We Try? Because it's a very important 80s duet.
Yes.
Who sang that? Who's Can't We Try?
Dan Hill and Vonda Shepherd.
Okay, there you go.
We try just a little bit harder?
And didn't Vonda Shepherd go on to sing in Ally McBeal?
She sure did.
Thank you.
Yeah, she sure did.
You're welcome.
Nice.
Sure did. Almost Paradise.
We're knocking on heaven's door. Yeah, that was a good one. What, that was in a
Mike
movie.
Reno and yes, Footloose.
There you
which
go.
Which was 1984. Thing. Also the best music year. The Girl Is Mine. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. The Doggone Girl is
really
Mine.
Really weird. Like, mm-hmm.
The Doggone Girl is Mine. Yeah.
He got away with the corny stuff. Mm-hmm. Islands in the Stream.
Mm. Yep. Kenny Rogers. Can't go wrong.
Next Time I Fall.
Oh, Next Time I Fall.
Yeah. Peter Cetera and Cher, right?
Yeah.
No, Amy Grant.
No, Amy Grant.
That's right. I'm thinking the other
Which
one.
Is a What's whole other category that we haven't even...
Well, after all.
This may have to be a two-parter. After yeah, After
Loved
All.
After Golly. So, yeah, that was... Okay, yep.
Yes, and remember, Amy, darling, I put my heart upon the shelf. Mm-hmm. Oh, she was so good! Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nobody Loves Me Like You Do, Whitney Houston and Jermaine Jackson.
I love that song. Now, Whitney is a whole separate deal in the 80s because all of it, bring me all the Whitney. I'm here for it even now. All the Whitney.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
100%. Did you know, here's a deeper cut. Did you know her other Jermaine Jackson duet?
I don't know.
Can anybody name it?
I don't know.
No, I can't.
If you say my eyes are beautiful.
Yes. If you say my eyes are
Loved
beautiful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'd forgotten about that. Yes. I'd forgotten about that.
Mm. Again, Sophie. There's Sophie. That was good singing. You both. Y'all should do a duets record.
It's funny you bring that up.
We should do a trio record.
We've been waiting to announce that was our new project. That we actually are going into the studio.
That's what we're doing for our 100th episode. Is we're recording a record. It's going to be fantastic.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be Chicago covers. We're doing Chicago covers.
Separate Lives. And the love theme from Stealing Home.
Yeah. Stealing Home.
Can we go back in time?
Hey, Travis, I will say there were, you know, we had just known y'all just a little while when we all ended up in at Ridgecrest for a thing. And I promise that was when I thought, oh, I think we will be friends for the rest of our lives. When David and I were in the car with you and Angela and that song came on and we not only all sang it and all knew the words, there was harmony. There was like, it was magical. Like I felt like, and then I found out later that Melanie also loved that song. And I thought, well, it's like the tie that binds, the love thing from Stealing Home. It's so good.
It is. God, so good.
I listen
good.
To
I can
the
still
whole soundtrack from beginning to end, and it puts me in a place.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And
mm-hmm.
it gives me feeling some kind of way.
Yes, I would agree.
I don't know.
Yes, it's something else. And that's a real, maybe not a plot line that I would get on board with at this stage in my life with that movie, but the soundtrack is thumbs up.
It is
yes.
so
okay.
good.
I have a trivia question for you. Can you name a trio? Mm-hmm. A pop trio. They weren't a group, but the three separate artists that came together for a trio that was a gigantic hit in the mid-80s.
A love song or just the hit?
A love song, a trio. It was like a, you know, it was like a little love triangle.
Wait, does it involve Sheena Easton?
No.
Okay, never mind.
I can't think. I don't know. I'm going to know it when you say it.
No, I was thinking about Reba and Linda Davidson, but that was not a trio. And that was the 90s. I don't know. What is it?
Hold on. I'm looking to see what year
it was. He doesn't know either.
Yes, I do know, but I'm holding it. I should have known. It was 1984.
Well, the best
what about
year?
Me? Kenny Rogers, Kim Carnes. This one was time after time I feel losing my mind. Oh, baby, this is what lovers must go through. It never entered my mind. We could be wasting our time. And then the other one goes, but what about me?
Yes, that was a great song. I do remember that. I had totally forgotten. I'm going to put that on a playlist today.
Today.
Okay.
Today.
Now the
Betty Davis eyes.
Now I'm trying to figure out the what about me I'm talking about. What about me? I've had enough. Okay, hold on. Can't you see I want to live, but you just take more than you give. Okay, let me. I can't. I don't know. It's Moving Pictures. Now I've got to look it up on Apple Music. I'd forgotten all about this song.
You know what else? Elementary school. I was just sitting here thinking the other one is I remember it came out. I was in fifth grade, or at least that's when I became aware of it, was Don't Stop Believin' by Journey. That Journey Escape album was like the whole with like Faithfully and all that. That was that for sure.
Open Arms.
God,
Open Arms.
Yeah, that was all on there. I love that. Those are my roller skating songs. I feel like those are the songs that were at the Magic Skate was Don't Stop Believin' and Open Arms, and you do couple skate, and I never could skate backwards.
Skate. I mean, you talk about a skill that today's teenagers do not have. It's skating backwards. Like,
no.
Oh, listen. Mm. We went skating the other night for Levi's party, and my kids were like in awe that I could skate backwards. And I was like, get on board, people. Come at me.
That's right.
That's right. Look at who has skills.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then you fell and broke your hip. But other than that,
right. And I can cross on the beat. So what now?
Yeah. Oh, the crossing on the beat. That's something else. That's a skill. Okay. So here's what I'm wondering, my friends. I wonder if we should keep talking, but we should end this episode and then continue to talk about our 90s and more current preferences, because clearly we have only begun to skim the surface of this topic. What do y'all think? Are y'all good with that?
I'm good with that. What time do you have to go, Trav?
Well, Angela, I might need to take 2 minutes and run to the car because she can't find Levi's purple jersey and team pictures are in 1 hour. And I need to go look in my car and look for his purple jersey. So can y'all hold on for a second?
Sure.
We can.
And we'll wrap this up. Yes. While Travis takes a break, we'll say thank you for listening to this episode. We have certainly enjoyed being with you. And we're going to continue this conversation on the next episode. Melanie, anything you'd like to add?
No, just I would say thank you for joining us. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're going to be back here in just a minute.
Yeah. Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed. All right. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye. Coming back.
Bye, everybody.
It sounds like you're speaking into an electric current.
Yes.
Stop. Did it stop?
It sounds like Darth. Sounds like Darth Vader. Shut up.
Rats. Here, I'm putting my. If I put my phone on airplane mode, is that better?
Yes.
It sounded like.
Is it better?
Yeah, that is.
I don't know. I'm so scared to talk.